What's up, everybody? Another episode of the Straight Cut Podcast coming to you from a new location that has never been done before, but in my living room. It is just me tonight, no co-host with me anyways, but I do have a recurring guest that we've had. This is our third year doing this, I believe. Yep. You know, we got to bring the, it is March Madness. It is arguably the best time of the year for in the sports world. Depends on if you think bowl season or whatever, but I believe for us two, this is high on the list, but it's March Madness. So we got Coach Jay back with us. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We haven't talked to you as much as I'd like to, I guess, in the past year. Like, you know, we took that 3 month sabbatical and everything, and you're one of the ones that reached out to us. So I appreciate that. And, I'm glad that we're able to do this again. And like, it just shows you like the quick turnaround was, I talked to you, what, maybe 16 hours ago, like, hey, do you want to do a show?
Yeah. Cleared my schedule for you.
Yeah. It's with Mark traveling, Steve traveling, and like, so Selection Sunday was just in recording last night, St. Patty's Day. So this is, to give you a little behind the curtain, it's Monday night. I'm going to also edit this tonight. So when this comes out tomorrow in real time, all this spanned out in 36 hours. So
last night, actually, I was at my youngest son's basketball game when the selection show occurred. I think it's the first time I can ever remember not watching it live. Yeah. So I was kind of getting texts and stuff from people about updates. But yeah, it was good talking to you and getting this set up, and happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Like, we had our D&D session yesterday, so I wasn't able to watch the selection. So like, in the middle of like fighting monsters and shit, I wanted to see just how bad Kansas was going to be, where they were going to be on the bracket. And, you know, I'm not used to waiting that long for the Jayhawks name to be called, but, you know, got that fourth, but, I've got my Jayhawks hat on, you know, I can't complain too much. I've been a little spoiled lately with my sports fandom between them and, you know, Jayhawks winning a couple of years ago and then my NHL team winning last year. So I can't complain too much.
Yeah, the Kansas, a lot of your teams have had a lot of success lately. No, you can't say too much.
Now, if just my baseball team can get their shit together. So with that being said, I am not having a cigar in my house, but I am drinking a Guinness. So that's about as close to a pairing as we're having. Are you having one tonight? What do you got?
I should be having a Guinness too. You know, I am part Irish. Found that out on Ancestry.com. Yeah, I'm having a Ashton BFG cigar tonight.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. So can't go wrong. Go wrong with that.
It's a good one. It was kind of a last minute decision, and just kind of spoke to me.
There we go. That's what we needed. All right. I turned my mic down way too much. All right. So I haven't watched as much this year as I normally do, and I'll just be upfront with that. So that's why I texted you. I was like, hey, I need to like bring the pros in on this because this is becoming an annual event. Gotta have the people who know their stuff on. So I'm going to be relying on you for the, you know, the X's and the O's when it comes to this. I know the big name stuff. Again, I love basketball, college basketball specifically. Haven't watched as much as I wanted to. I have been watching more of the women's side just because of what Iowa's been able to do and then the rivalry between South Carolina, LSU, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So looking forward to that tournament as well. But this one, we're going to stay heavy on the men's side. But I guess let's break it down by region and everything. So the number one overall, you know, not surprised to hardly anybody, but UConn is number one overall.
Yeah. Obviously, UConn with the big run last year, and they've been great all season long. You mentioned bringing in the experts. So, quick story, real quick. Last year, you know, we did our show last year too. Well, I probably talked about my 10-year-old son. He's now 11, yeah. Filling out his bracket and being big into it. So, he entered a a bracket challenge around here in the Sports Bar and Grill, right? Mm-hmm. I throw his bracket in there. The little dude ends up winning $2,600.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'll say that confidentially because I gave him $500. I can't give this kid $2,600.
Oh, man.
So that cash on that. But so now he's counting on it. Like, he's like, Dad, when's that bracket come out? I'm kind of low on funds. But I guarantee that you win. But in his mind, he's, oh, I'm definitely winning. I'm definitely winning this thing.
Oh, that's how the bookies get you in.
Yeah, exactly. He's hooked. He is hooked. But UConn's one of his teams too. But I love Hurley. I think he's a fun coach. He's so passionate and fiery, and you know, they've been getting some hell lately for getting on these fans and having guys kicked out of games, I noticed. But yeah. But he's like a tough guy too. He's like a Jersey tough guy. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, they're the number one. They're going against the number 16, against Stetson. I believe it's still only one time in history a number 16 has beat a number one. Yeah. That was, within the past 4 years, 3 years, something like that?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact year, but it was Virginia, and then they won it the next year. The whole thing the next year.
See, there's the rub. Do you take a humiliating loss for a guaranteed championship the next year?
I think you have to. I think, you know, I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and, you know, they went like a quarter century with one title. Yeah. You know, they won it in 98 and then 2012 and nothing, you know, recent. So I think you got to take the title no matter what. You'll get booted in the first round if we can win it all.
Oh, yeah. Next year. And then what it is, then you have the – just like the curmudgeon teams that are like in the NIT tournament, be like, oh, I could have beat them with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so there's a couple teams that didn't take the NIT bid. Then
I saw that Dracula Patino. He's either Dracula or he looks like an old time mob boss. You know, it's
oh, for sure.
He's in one of those categories.
For sure, he's right beside Pacino in any movie.
Oh, yeah, like he's definitely been directed by Martin Scorsese at one point in life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
So the number two then is Iowa State taking on South Dakota State. Iowa State, yeah, that's been one that it seems like every year they've been progressively getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing it, you know, come this year as the number two in the the West Division? I believe
East
Division. Okay.
Yeah, Iowa State stuff. I think I like to look at the Ken Pomeroy ratings, like analytics. I just think like he does it in like real time too. Like you can refresh as soon as the team wins or loses, and the rankings are all done there. But I feel like they were number one in the country in defense. Could be wrong on that, but yeah, Iowa State. To beat Houston the way they did, they beat them by 30, which is crazy. I just couldn't believe it. As good as Houston's been all year, too.
Yeah. Now, I mean, and they're going to be playing against the Jackrabbits, who, you know, for the football fans, that's always a team you see like in the Division II and stuff like that. But I'm actually looking at the numbers. You know, Jackrabbits are going to play a lower style of team throughout the series, but field goal percentage. You're looking at 48.3 for Jackrabbits, 46.3 for Iowa. Three-pointers, it's 36.3 for Jackrabbits, 34.9 for the Cyclones. I mean, the rebounds is 35.6 to 34, another one for the Jackrabbits. It's when you get into the rebounding is when, you know, Iowa State really starts coming on. 10.8 to 8.3, and then you got the assists and the steals. So the defense is shaping up more for the Iowa side. But, you know, I wouldn't put it past, you know, this game to be a little closer than what people think.
Well, yeah, and just the way that the season has gone, where, it seems like there's not really a dominant team.
Yeah.
And you know, upsets are happening, especially the conference tournaments. There were so many upsets. And just, you know, and just the way the game's played now, too, the three-point shot is such a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
These teams with good guards get hot and go on a run. You just never know. You just don't know where the upsets are coming from, right? Like, that's what we're trying to trying to figure out. There's going to be some, but where are they going to come from?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we saw some, like, some definitely some big heartbreakers. Well, I forget who it was. It wasn't Marquette, but it was, like, a foul at 4.8 seconds that they didn't have to foul.
Akron.
That's just right.
Yeah, because we have at the high school I work at, we have three guys going to Akron next year to play football, and we were just talking about that. I said it's heartbreaking. They fouled. The kids thought that they were down,
yeah,
and had to foul. They had just decided to go ahead.
Yeah, and it bumped them out of the tournament. I mean,
now they're.
And you feel, you just feel so bad for that kid because, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you can't, even the coach afterwards, like, you know, we didn't lose the game because of that play. That was just one of the 100 plays that happened throughout the night. But, you know, that's the one that everybody's going to be talking about. So you just, you know, your heart goes out for the kid for that, because that's just, it's brutal to lose in that fashion. And just, you know, it sucks for him so much.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know how you get over that one. I hope something good happens to that kid, because that was sad. That was a tough one.
yeah. So, hit a few other ones on the east side. You got FAU versus Northwestern. FAU, the only team in South Florida being represented. You know, last year, both the men and women's Miami team, the Hurricanes, were in the Final Four, or Elite Eight at least, and now both of them got bumped this year in the men and women's.
That's kind of shocking, because I feel like, you know, Miami had a lot of their players back from last year, other than the really good guard. But, you know, they had spent a bunch of money in the NIL, getting some of those guys. But not seeing them make the tournament was a huge shocker.
Yeah, like what you're saying, you know, having so many returning players. And it just I saw a few games and highlights and stuff. But man, it just looked like the team just kind of just quit. After they saw that the what division are they in? They're the PAC. No, not PAC. What are ACC? Yeah, once the ACC kind of got out of way for them, they just, you know, it just kind of folded up. And you know, that's another discussion we'll get into later on in the show, is like the NIL and how this is affecting stuff like that. But you know, it is shocking to see how both men and women's, who made such deep runs last year, both knocked out. So for the South Florida fans, FAU is your only team in the tournament this year.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. They had a good run last year, and same with San Diego State, who's in that region too. Had a great run last year. They're the five, but I like Auburn, the four seed there. Mm-hmm. I thought they were underseeded. I thought they probably should have been a three, and they're kind of playing really good right now. Bruce Pearl,
he's
one that you either love or hate, and I like the guy.
I'm in the category of I like Bruce Pearl. He's a very he's eccentric. He's very, I mean, it's not as bad, but it's kind of like Bob Knight. You either love Bob Knight or you hate Bob Knight.
Right.
You know, yeah. Bruce Pearl's that same way for me.
You know, he loves his team. He gets the fan base going. I think he's a good coach. I mean, he's done a great job everywhere he's been. So I don't know. I think he's a fun guy. But I can see why some people don't love him.
And he's super emotional too. Like he's one of the more emotional forward facing coaches that's going to be out there.
Yeah, he got teared up yesterday after they won the SEC. Talking about his dad. That was pretty good.
Yep. And then you got BYU versus, I'm not even how to say that one, Duquez?
Duquesne,
okay.
Duquesne Duke. They're the Dukes, that's their mascot.
Okay. So 6-11, and then you got Illinois at number 3 versus Morehead State.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out. Morehead State, their head coach, Moorhead's in Kentucky. Moorhead State is in Eastern Kentucky, but their head coach is a friend. He does a really good job. Actually, my son's team played against his son's team in the AAU game not too long ago, and it was a crazy game. The referee afterwards actually said it's one of the best youth games he'd ever seen, but his son hit like 7 threes. And I turned around during the game. I said, "Have you offered yet?" And he said, he won't play defense. I said, "He doesn't have to for me." It's going to be a good player. But I got to give him a shout-out. I hope that they can pull the upset against Illinois. It'll be tough, but Moorhead's not bad. Yeah. He does a good job.
Yeah, got a little regional pride right there for you.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then the last one, you got Washington State against Drake. That's a 7 versus a 10, and that rounds off the east side of the bracket. And then on the on the south side, the number one coming out of the south was Houston, and they're playing Longwood. Houston and UConn, back and forth all year, back and forth, back and forth, yeah. Back and forth.
I watched a video this week on Twitter with Houston, just clips of their practices, diving on loose balls, getting in scraps, rebound drills and stuff. I love the energy. They're so fun to watch, I think, from a defensive perspective, just how hard they play.
Yeah.
I think they're an easy team to root for until they play my Duke Blue Devils, hopefully, in the Sweet 16. Hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah, same side of the bracket. We'll get to that one here in a minute. And then you got Marquette versus Western Kentucky. You got the Hilltoppers. Is it the Hilltoppers, or is it Big?
Yeah.
Is that Big Red? Yeah, Hilltoppers.
Yeah, that's Big Red, the mascot. Yep, it's my mom's a grad of Western Kentucky. Got a lot of friends that went there, and it's definitely going to be another school that I'll root for. But I think Marquette's pretty tough, though.
Yeah, Marquette is always that team that, they have multiple NBA stars come from Marquette.
Right.
Always there in the tournament, always there. I wouldn't call them a bracket buster because they are such a really good team. They're more along the lines in the regular season, they'll really fuck somebody up and then knocks them down the bracket or maybe even out. But Marquette is always feisty there.
Yeah. I mean, they, you're right. They've got, Dwayne Wade, people forget he was so good. They beat Kentucky years ago in the, was a really good Kentucky team in the Elite Eight, still the Final Four. And Dwayne Wade is kind of his coming out party.
Yep.
But yeah, they're tough. I can see them making a deep run for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then you got, the number three in the division. You got, where you're from over there, you got Kentucky and Oakland. I know you're a Duke fan, but you got, on that Kentucky side playing against the Bears of Oakland.
Oh, I saw today that Oakland has a kid who is number one of everybody in the tournament in 3-point shooting. And so that, like we talked about earlier, somebody gets hot, you never know.
Oh yeah,
Kentucky's just so they have such a talented team and they could make a huge run. They just haven't played defense very well this year at all. They give up lots of points. They're fun to watch because they might score 100, but they could give up 90 or 100 as well. Reed Sheppard just won Freshman of the Year. He's actually from Kentucky as well. Hometown heroes, parents. Well, every time you watch the Kentucky game, they show his parents that both played at UK. Dad was MVP of the Final Four in 98. But hometown hero and Kentucky, I don't know, man. Him and Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, which neither of them start, which that's like the big thing here in Kentucky right now is, why aren't your best players? Kentucky fans are bad about that. They're very passionate people, but when things don't go well, they're going to pick it apart and tell Coach Cal how to coach. And but that's the biggest criticism is, the guy's got a lifetime contract in the UK, makes millions of dollars, and you got these guys telling him how to coach. I don't know. It's just it's funny, but
I'll say it for you since you live out there and I don't. Kentucky fans, you're entitled. I mean, it's just
yeah. Yeah, I say that too loud. I get jumped on the way to work. So, you know, you said it, not me.
Yeah. Like Coach Cal, again, it's like the Bruce Pearl. It's like the, you know, the Bobby Knight. You either love him or hate him. But Cal is the coach where you love to hate. Like, that's just, oh, yeah. He's got to be, he's infamous. Villain. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
He's like a, he's like the, I forget the coach's name, but from Blue Chips. Like, he's
just, oh, yeah. Nick Nolte,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's a great movie. I love that movie. Yeah, he is. He's like a villain, WWE villain. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. He's the perfect person for the UK job in so many ways.
I mean, he's even said it before, like you, like talking to the kids, you know, you give me 1 year, you'll be a millionaire. Yeah. You know, one and done. This, if you want it one and done, this is where you come.
Right, right. And yeah, they, you know, they get upset. That, well, he just cares about draft night. You know, not we want to win titles, but you know, it's so hard to win a championship. But,
oh yeah, yeah. And I have a little bit over him because when Kansas won, I believe in 08 is whenever he was coaching at Memphis.
Memphis. Yeah, free throws. Mm-hmm. I had Memphis win it all. I would have won every bracket pool in the city of Lexington that year. That was a heartbreaker.
You should have had your boy help you on that one.
I know. We had only met back then.
So who else we got on that? Okay, so number four is then your team, Duke versus Vermont.
Yeah, I really don't know a ton about Vermont. I was texting with some of my other buddies who are Duke fans last night. They seem to like the draw. I think that a lot of Duke teams aren't the most athletic teams. Now, in the recent years with Zion Williamson and some of the guys that they are.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like the draw to Vermont. And then, you know, if you take care of business, playing the winner of Wisconsin, James Madison, I feel like it kind of sets up to get to the Sweet 16 against Houston, but I don't know. I feel like every time I've watched Duke lately, they've lost. So I don't know if I need to just not watch the tournament or what, but I haven't been the best luck for them. But again, they're another team that returns four or five starters and kind of thought they'd be a little better than they were this year, but just haven't really clicked. They do have guards that can shoot it, so, you know, guards win in this tournament.
Oh, yeah, yep. So you are now 2 years removed from Coach K. You know, big shoes to fill, you know, especially when you're coaching on the court that has his name on it. I mean, when you're still coaching and your name is on the building or on the court, you know, that's, you know, big shoes to fill. But
you know, you probably did something right.
Yeah. Yeah, you did something right. So how are you as a Blue Devils fan feeling about, you know, the changing of the guard?
Yeah, I like John Shire a lot. I like him as a player, and I think he's doing a good job. Obviously, he's a great recruiter. And next year, Cooper Flagg, who is a tremendous player. Really, really excited about watching him next year. But he's just one of many. You know, he's definitely won a lot of recruiting wars. Last year, they were a 5 seed. This year, a 4 seed. Kind of, you know, hope that they get back to being on that 1 and 2 line. But yeah. I think he's doing well. I think, you know, all year they were kind of up and down, but it seems to be that they're in a spot right now. You know, the conference tournament, that's the thing I was thinking about this week. They're fun. It's fun to watch, but a lot of times teams win the conference tournament and they get bounced early in the NCAA. I don't know if they're out of gas or what it is, but losing early in the conference tournament, it may not matter. It may not. We'll see. But Duke and Kentucky both lost their first game in the conference and we'll see how it goes. But I like Shire. I think he's a good coach. I think he'll do a good job. You got to give him a little time. And like you said, tough shoes to fill. I mean, you don't really want to be the guy that follows him.
No, you want to be the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy. But, you know, with him coming in, you would assume, I mean, you would probably have the answer better than I would. But Coach K would you know, almost handpick who his successor would be.
Yeah, he has his blessing, and he's going to support him. He didn't go to a lot of games, but he goes to some, and he's definitely, I mean, he played for Coach K, so that's his guy, and he'll support him. So he'll get time to do his thing. He's a young guy too.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember a couple of years ago, whenever you know the changing guard was happening. And then, you know, all the talking heads were like, oh, is Coach K going to be at the games and stuff? And, you know, I figured, like, you don't want to do that because you don't want to show up the coach because all cameras are going to be on him. Any bad call, any bad play, you know, cameras going to go right to Coach K, see what the face reaction. And, you know, everybody in that locker room is going to see then, you know, on ESPN or wherever that thing. So, you know, just watch the game from the house. You know, he probably, you know, shoot him a text like, here's what I saw. Maybe you can do this or do that. But he's handled on both sides. It's been done pretty gracefully.
Yeah, he didn't take the Roy Williams approach of coming every game looking over Hubert Davis's shoulder.
And as a Roy Williams fan, because he really helped, like me growing up, that is who Kansas basketball was Roy Williams before we got Bill Self. But yeah, I understand that. I understand the analogy really good.
I watched the show on, I don't know if it was on HBO or what. Or no, it was on ESPN with Coach K and Roy sitting down and talking. It was pretty cool. You have to check that out on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Saban and like Belichick do sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much knowledge. Yeah, break down a game. Like, seeing that, but, like, kind of like what the Mannings do on Manningcast, I want to see that and, you know, give me some old head basketball coaches and sit down and watch a game.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'd give them that.
And then, let's see what else we got. We got Wisconsin and James Madison. That's the dreaded 5 versus 12 every year. A 5 will lose to a 12. Will that be it? I don't know. We'll see. And then you got Nebraska 8 and Texas A&M at 9. So that's, you know, that's a pick 'em. Go chalk on that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid region, really.
Oh, yeah. This is a very blue-blooded side of the bracket on this one. Because you also have, you know, NC State, you know, always sneaky. Yeah. You know, they're always the little brother to the Tar Heels. I mean, they're there as well.
On that ACC tournament run, they won 5 games in 5 days, and they have the big guy. They got the big baby knockoff. That dude's huge, and he can play. He's a fun guy to watch.
And then there's one that's going to have a play-in, one of the first 4 that happens either tomorrow or Wednesday, and they are playing Florida. So,
yeah. Boise State, Colorado. I watched Colorado, I don't know, one night, insomnia or whatever, seeing them, you know, West Coast game. Mm-hmm. And I really like their team. So I could see them doing something there. I'll be tuned into them in the first 4.
Yeah. And that'll be a 7 versus a 10. Yeah. So then jumping down to the West, you got the number 1 on the West side is North Carolina. And they are going to be playing the winner of a play-in game between Howard and Wagner. So it'll be a 1 versus 16 on that one.
Yeah, Baycott from North Carolina. He's in his, 17th year in college. it feels like he's been there forever. Terry Ellis from Kansas. Like, just guys that just feel like they're in college forever.
Oh, I know. I know, it's like, and starting at guard is 28-year-old. Like, what?
Just leave, please.
Can you imagine being an NBA rookie at 30?
Yeah, right?
Coming out with LeBron's hairline now, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 2, you got Arizona versus Long Beach State. Arizona, man, one of those teams that's just – they've been making so much noise for the past decade.
yeah.
And they've just like, they've been right there. And then, you know, will this year be it? Because they're, if you're looking in bracket style, you know, the West, you know, other than North Carolina and Baylor, it's
right.
This is one of the weaker sides of the bracket.
It is. I think Arizona definitely has a shot to come out of there, but yeah, looking at it, and you never know how things go, but on paper, it does look like a weaker bracket for sure.
Yeah. Because Michigan State, you know, they've kind of had they're the 9 seed against Mississippi State at 8. I mean, Michigan State has not been the Spartans of, you know, for the past 15 years. They've been, yeah. Now, St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, a 5-12. I don't think this is going to be the dreaded 5-12. I got St. Mary's in that one. I like St. Mary's a lot.
I do too. I was studying them a little bit today. They got a good team. I think they could definitely. They could be the one like San Diego State last year, Fort Atlantic. You know that.
Oh yeah.
Get that for sure. I like that group.
Yeah, and then what was it about? I guess about 8 or so years ago, you had a. Was it Lob City or was it Florida or Long?
Florida Gulf Coast.
Man, what a fun tournament that was. Because
that was great.
If you're going to be a Cinderella team and you're going to do it with that much flair and style of just like slamming down dunks over everybody, like you're going to become infamous and just gain a lot of fans.
Yeah, and then they started showing the campus, which was like just crazy. Like the most campus, you know, right on the beach.
Yeah, straight party campus. Like nobody knows. Yeah, it's like going to Hawaii. Like, you're going for vacation.
Right. Yeah, that was a fun thing to get behind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Number 3 on that side is Baylor versus Colgate. Baylor, a team that's always there, won it 5 years ago or so.
Another team. Kind of remind me of Houston, the way they get after it all over the court.
Yep.
Play defense. Fun team to watch.
Yeah, always there fighting. And then you got Alabama versus Charleston. Alabama basketball has really come up, you know, in the past few years. In the South, Alabama football, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
But basketball, they've been making their own name lately.
They have, and, you know, that's the guy. Speaking of the Kentucky fans, they're always talking about, well, who's going to be the next coach in Cal League? Who would you rather have? And a lot of people like him. But Kentucky beat it. It seemed like every coach there for about a 2 or 3 week span for Kentucky, every coach that all the fans, all the Cal haters wanted, he was just knocking them off one by one.
Yeah.
But Alabama's another team, scores a bunch of points. And, I tell you, what's funny right now, not to stop that, I just got a text from that Morehead State coach. I had texted him last night and wished him good luck in the tournament, and he just said, thanks, I'm excited about our draw. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, maybe you circle that as your upset. He's excited about the draw. I don't know. Illinois, don't let the Illinois people hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alabama, they're fun to watch. I like them. I think St. Mary's will get them. The upset, I like New Mexico. It's Clemson.
New Mexico Clemson
game. But yeah, it's kind of, like you said, it's kind of a weaker region. Not the most exciting.
Yeah, I like the St. Mary's in Alabama. You know, it all depends on what the Alabama, what's the player's name? I think he's a guard. Sears, I mean, averaging almost 22 points a game. I mean, when you get your shooting, when you got your shooting guard out there, and it all depends, like you said, who gets hot, who's playing the hot hand. That's the thing. Whenever, you know, get rid of him, getting rid of 22 points a game right there. So, I expect to see a St. Mary's Alabama matchup in the round of 32.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That'll be a good one.
Yep. And then the last one is going to be Dayton versus Nevada, a 7 versus a 10. With those games are so close, like it's kind of like I like that 8 and 9, 7 to 10, you know, that range where you got no skin in it. You just know you're going to get a really good game.
Oh yeah. That's what makes the tournament so fun. They always come down to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Great finishes. Yeah, those are always, you pretty much flip a coin on all those games.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then the last side, we've got the, was it the north side, I guess now?
The Midwest.
Midwest. Midwest, you got the number one overall on the Midwest side is Purdue, and they are going to be playing the win-in team of Colorado State versus Virginia. So Virginia, we talked about earlier in the episode, you know, have the big humiliation happen and then come back and, you know, win it all. But they're going to be, one of them is going to be going up against Purdue. So that first four is fairly new in the tournament within the past 5-6 years, I'd say maybe.
Yeah, it's been something fun, you know, when they went from 64 to 68 teams. But the thing I like about it is it gives you just another extra night of basketball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, two nights, a game tomorrow night, yeah. or tonight.
If, well, yeah.
You know, when you listen to it, Tuesday and Wednesday night, and then the tournament starts Thursday. But there's also talks of going to 80 games or 80 teams here shortly in the tournament. That's just, I mean, it's going to open up for even more, you know,
right.
buzzer beaters and stuff like that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if that happens, like what that does to the NIT tournament, stuff right. like that. You know, it's just trickle down to everything. But going from 64 to 68 to now possibly, I think it was either 80 or 82 teams now.
Yeah, and you know, like, I know that most of the people fill out their brackets online now, but it seems like the cool thing about the brackets is like it's a one pager.
Oh, yeah.
So like, it's the one sheet that makes it fun. Everybody around the office is filling them out. Mm-hmm. People that never watch basketball, the 10-year-old, even though he probably does watch more than me, but yeah. he knows every sixth man probably for Grambling to South Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just when do you cut it off? What's too much? You know, I'd love to just see more basketball games, but the tournament is so special, you know, you don't want to mess with it too much.
Yeah. I mean, if the only thing that I'd want is like, because it's now March 18th, like,
yeah,
I want to have the tournament end in March, not end in April for the true March right. madness, like early March, let's get it going. And then, so if that's what it takes for me to get tournament earlier in the season, I guess, but you know, 64 yeah. is, you know, it seems like it's right at that sweet spot.
Yeah, it just seems so perfect. So perfect. Such a perfect setup.
Yep. And then for the number two, you got Tennessee versus St. Peter's.
Yeah, and St. Peter's knocked off Kentucky a few years back in the first round. I think it was a 2-15 game as well, so a lot of people around here hoping they can pull it off again. I like the Tennessee team, though. They defend. They're tough. They're gritty. Rick Barnes, he does a good job. He hasn't had a whole lot of postseason success, but I do think he's a great coach.
Yeah, looking at through some of the stats, I mean, it's the Volunteers are favored in everything. The only thing is turnovers. And that's the one thing the Peacocks are better at, and that's the one thing you don't want to have the higher number in when it comes to
right.
when it comes to the stats. So I expect to see, you know, chalk on that one. Tennessee should advance yeah. on that one. Let's see. We got number three is Creighton versus Akron. So Creighton, yeah. Blue Jays, man, always, again, that smaller team where they don't do – much of anything else sports-wise, you know, football or whatever, you don't hear their name. But when it comes to basketball, the Creighton Blue Jays, always that yeah, team that's just always fighting right there.
And I like them. Just looking for, like, an upset. I mean, I know they're a 3 seed, but looking for, like, a non-chalky 4 team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they could maybe be it. They could be the team that gets to the Final Four from this region. I think they definitely have a shot.
Yeah, because the only one that really would put a, you know, a chance of the way, you know, South Carolina, I feel like they could be a little bit of a challenge, but Tennessee, you know, it would have to come down to the Sweet 16, Tennessee versus Creighton. And honestly, if it comes to that, man, I just feel like Creighton just is, they just play a different style of basketball than the SEC style. And I like that matchup, and I would go for Creighton on that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I can see them making some noise.
And then the fourth seed is my Jayhawks against Sanford Bulldogs. Yeah. So we're both the fourth seed in this year's tournament.
Kansas, you know, it just seems like they're not playing as good lately. A lot of people have kind of written them off. And
yeah.
That's kind of like the scary thing, though. Like, you write them off, and that's when they come alive and make a run.
Yeah, we lost two of our best players. They've been battling injuries. You know, this is definitely one of the worst teams that I remember lately. 22-10 this year. So, you know, it's been a long time since they've had a double digit loss season.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of like what you're saying. You know, just going into the tournament. You know, it starts a new thing. Let's see how it goes. And I like the fact that they got the four because they have a little bit of a better trajectory going up, going against it. But, you know, if they beat Samford, the very next game is more than likely going to be against number five Gonzaga. And that's a team that, you know, is always there, always making noise. They don't have Timmy anymore, thankfully, but the Zags always just, man, I put that in the same category as Creighton. Like, they just, when you think of college basketball, smaller division schools, Creighton, Gonzaga, you know, those are the teams that really stand out.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Gonzaga-Kansas matchup.
Yeah, because 3 years ago, that could be that. 3 years ago, if you said Creighton-Gonzaga, you're thinking Final Four, final matchup, stuff like that, and that's just a round of 32.
Yeah, it seems like every year, you know, for the past, recent history, Gonzaga is going to be your one seed in the West. Mm-hmm. Kansas is going to be the one seed in the Midwest. Yep. You know, it's like almost write it down.
Yep.
So that'll be a good one. That'd be a good second round matchup for sure.
And they're so the first game is going to be played in, I believe it's in Salt Lake City, for that one. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, Salt Lake City, Utah. Yep, Thursday night, 9:00. So that's a good thing. Like, I'll be at the lounge. Closing up, tip off at 9:50. You know, get everybody out the door and be able to watch my game in peace, so I can either celebrate or you know, just like, yeah, get the hell out.
And then
and then what else we got on that one? Who have we not talked about? Oh, we haven't talked about I guess Utah State and TCU 8-9 matchup. You know, that one is just going to be, again, like that 8-9 matchup to me. I like those games because it's going to be solid, about evenly matched. It's, you know, who's going to come down to the last possession. You know, the last 30 seconds of the game is going to take 5.5 minutes. Unlike last night did you see last night with, I believe it was the Lakers, and I forget who they're playing, but the final 15 seconds took 20 minutes to play.
Yeah, I saw everybody in the crowd looked like they were just falling asleep.
Oh, my God. Like,
brutal.
I always hear, like, one of my favorite jokes is, like, whenever, like, your wife says, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Don't think of it as 5 minutes. Think of it as 5 minutes in basketball, tie game, both teams have all timeouts. Like, that's the 5 minutes it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks brutal.
Looking 45 minutes tops. So, I believe that is it on that. Oh, no, we got South Carolina and Oregon. That's a 6 versus an 11. You know, South Carolina, it's, again, always one of those good, sneaky teams. Especially in the South, but I feel like they get overlooked a lot in the SEC because you've got Vanderbilt, you've got Florida, you've got Tennessee, you know, those three right there, and South Carolina, you know, the women's side definitely, because they are great on the women's side. It's unbelievable. I think they finally lost their first game out of, like, what, 3 seasons or something this past year.
They're so good. And Don Staley, he's such a good coach. And,
yep.
You know, a lot of people are kind of waiting to see if a men's team takes a shot and gives her a head coaching job eventually. Be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last one is going to be Texas versus the winner of Grambling and Montana State. So it's going to be a 7 versus a 16 on that one.
Yeah, Texas is another team, you know, athletic as to be. They got tons of guys that can play. And I don't know. Denver, Tennessee would be a good second round matchup. I don't see them getting too far, but definitely a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I assume Texas would probably advance, and then, you know, right after that, you got Tennessee. So it's right there. But it's overall, you know, looking like a good tournament. That West just seems like North Carolina. You know, you have such.
Yeah.
I don't want to say easy because nothing's easy, but mm-hmm. that West side of the bracket. Like,
honestly, yeah, they got it.
Yeah, it's got to be Arizona, North Carolina. Like, that's just shaping up kind of be, you know, Elite Eight right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. I had Arizona over Carolina in that one to go to the Final Four.
So, we both, I'll speak for me. I always, you know, choose with my heart, choose with my head. Of course, I'm always going to choose Kansas for the heart. Every once in a while, you know, it'll be head. This year definitely is not. So are you a house divided as well, Duke with your heart and something else with your head?
Yeah, it's like, you know, before the draw, I was telling people, yeah, I don't see Duke making it out of the first weekend, and then, you know, the bracket comes out, it gets in my hand, and all of a sudden I'm writing Duke all the way out to the Final Four, and I'm sitting there thinking, am I stupid? Am I, you know,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, you're like, what are you doing?
Really,
what are you doing?
What are you doing here? Talked about Houston all year long, and now you're coming up with ways that Duke can outplay them, and yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, I'd love to see Duke make a big run, but Houston, I feel like it's played so well all year outside of the very last game in the tournament where they lost by 30.
Yeah.
Not sure how that happened, but yeah, you almost got to do two brackets, pick one with your heart and one with your head, like you said.
So I like all the ones except for Purdue. I do like UConn. I do like North Carolina. I really do like Houston. Purdue is kind of that one that's like, you know, Purdue is the raisin in the dessert that shouldn't be there. You know, it's just like that one thing.
Purdue, like they're gonna let me down. You know, I know my dad from like the 80s and 90s has all these teams that, you know, oh, I'm never picking them. They all, you know, they changed coaches 5 times and, you know, it's not even close to the same roster, but still, just all, they always let you down. And it's just kind of what it seems like, Purdue. That was my son's pick, and I said, I don't know, man, but hey, he's the one that won all the money last year.
he's a reigning champion, so you can't say much to him. No. So here's what Vegas has. Vegas likes UConn. They're sitting at +375 to win it all, followed by Houston and then Purdue at 550 and 700. And then Arizona in the fourth spot at 11-1. So they've got Arizona over the number one Tar Heels at 13-1. So if I had to choose between the top four and throwing Arizona in there, I like Houston and Arizona as the final championship.
Yeah, I mean, and like we said, Arizona, the bracket, we feel like the West isn't as tough. So,
yeah,
you know, you think you like your chances there because it doesn't seem like they have as many tough matchups. But, yeah, I definitely think, I don't know, in a year that there's been so many upsets, I do kind of feel, it feels like the chalk is where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird, but it just seems like they've been the best teams all year long.
Yep. So of the, and we're both, you're at 30-1, I'm at 40-1, you know, it is what it is. I can't complain. Like I said, starting off the show, you know, I've had a good run the past couple of years, but the one I'm always looking forward to is the 5 versus 12. A 12 always takes out a 5. So,
always.
So the 5 versus 12s this year, we got San Diego State versus UAB, and that is in the East. And then you've got, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon in the west. And then on the south side, you've got Wisconsin, James Madison. And on the Midwest, you're sitting at Gonzaga, McNeese. Of those four, I feel like we might have the same, but I really like James Madison over Wisconsin.
Me too. Me too. That's the only one I could see, you know, really happening.
Yeah. Now, if this, now if we're talking like Wisconsin of like 4 years ago, no. But James Madison, Wisconsin now, I like that 12 over a 5.
I could see that one for sure. I could like we talked. I like St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're a team that could possibly get to the Final Four.
Yep.
UAB probably shouldn't have won their conference and. McNeese. I can't pick McNeese over Gonzaga. James Madison, I think, would have to be the 12 upset this year.
So if that was to happen, and if you do business against Vermont, it's then James Madison versus Duke. So then you're playing James Madison hot hand, coming off a big time victory against Duke. You know, that's always that team. You know, riding high with emotion. Do you overplay and always, then go from there?
Yeah, there's always a Cinderella team that not only wins one game, but ends up, you know, getting going and win another one. And I hope their Cinderella run goes ahead and midnight strikes early.
Yeah. So of all these teams, is there a Cinderella that sticks out to you?
So looking at it, I would say a team like New Mexico, they're an 11. I could see them winning a couple games and maybe getting out there because they would have to beat Clemson, which I actually think New Mexico, I think I saw that they were the favorite as the 11th seed in the opening round.
Yeah.
So they could get a couple wins and get out there. Kind of like BYU, the 6th seed.
Yeah.
I could see them making some noise. And then Creighton's a 3, so that's not much of a Cinderella, but also North Carolina State as hot as they've been, you know, the Kemba Walker.
And that's what I was about to ask. Like North Carolina State is sitting at 11. I wouldn't classify them as a Cinderella because they have some history and everything, but that's just a team that's a little bit lower than they normally are in the tournament. So it's hard to classify them as a Cinderella. To me, a Cinderella team is somebody you've hardly ever heard of. You know, you got, Who was it? Sister Jean Mary from Chicago a couple years ago. So yeah, from the SWAC, the MAC, you know, somebody who's playing football on Saturday night at 11 o'clock, and you need to make up your losses. So that's what it is.
Yeah. So I think the champ in the house, my son, I think he said Drake, who's a 10. You know, they're not like a huge double digit seed, but they're a 10. He had them going kind of far, so
okay.
I'll keep an eye on them too. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you got to be somebody that you don't really you don't hear of. You can't name, you know, alumni from their school, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's end up going to be somebody who we didn't say. It's going to end up being like Akron taking out Creighton, and just like ruin everything.
Oh yeah, oh for sure.
So it's going to be a big tournament. Looking forward to it. Starts here shortly. You know, the most vasectomies are done during this week right now in the U.S. Just because, you know, doctor says you got to stay off your feet for a couple of days. What better time than, you know, got the big screen up. Then you get your iPad up. You got multiple games going on at the same time. You know, TV, like I got YouTube TV where you can watch 4 games at one time, split screen.
Right.
Like, oh my God, you imagine that, like 8 games going at one time. That's just sensory overload. But
yeah, I know. I don't know where to focus.
And you wonder why people my age are now like, oh, we all have some sort of ADD.
Right. Exactly. But it is, though. It's the perfect time of year. It's the best. It has to be also a time of year that a lot of people get sick on Thursday and Friday and don't make it into work.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You got to play the long con since they've added the 4 games, the play-in tournament. You got to start getting that little stuffy nose like Monday about noon. And then it's like, oh man, like my throat's a little itchy. You know, I'm not feeling so well. You know, I might work from home for the rest of the week kind of thing. And then, That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those things that, you know, personal days, will be in effect. Be a lot of people not getting much work done. You know, they make the apps or whatever on your computer where you just click the button and it goes to like a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
When you're watching the game.
Oh yeah, you get the foot pedal set up so you can just tab it so nobody sees. Yeah. Goes to Excel, oh, you know, just looking at boring numbers, you know.
Just grinding away on this data.
So we've seen on the football side of things where like NIL has definitely come in. It becomes more like a free agency and stuff like that. For me, I feel like basketball hasn't been as noticeable because you have a lot more one and dones, the big name people, you know, since you can't go straight from high school to pro anymore, you got to get that 1 year in. And then now you're getting more people going straight to the G League. So they're still making money. So I feel like the NIL hasn't made as much of its head showing, at least on the men's side. On the women's side, maybe a little bit. But like with everything going on, basketball, where do you see it going eventually? Do you think they'll get rid of the one and done, or are they going to do more of a mandatory, you got to do 2 years now? Where do you see, you know, college basketball 10 years from now?
I don't know. You know, I would definitely love to see people in college longer. I know that it has made people lose interest somewhat because you have to relearn the roster every year.
Yeah.
Especially me living in Lexington, Kentucky, where, you know, it seems like every single year you're loaded up with you got the one and done players, and then you get the grad transfers and the portal. So it's like a new roster every single year.
Your bench players stay the same, but the marquee five names on the court, you know, three or four is going to be different.
Right. Like you don't see those guys. And Kentucky announced something, last week about, you know, an NIL fund that was starting. I was thinking, you know, why do you even need it? You get the number one or two class every year anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like unless you're looking at getting these guys in the transfer portal to come, I don't know what the significance is, but I think that's maybe been the biggest thing is the transfer portal. And teams loading up with older players and making that run. But yeah, you know, it's just kinda it's different. It's not the college basketball that we grew up with.
No. Because they've done the, I guess, so LeBron, he came out in, was it 03 or 04?
Yeah.
So he was able to go straight from high school to pro, same thing with Kobe. So it's, I forget when the rule changed. It was mid-2000s.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there's any change, they might allow that before they allow, or before they make you stay in college. But who knows? I don't know, man. College sports as a whole is just crazy and evolving by the minute.
Oh no, it's so nuts. So one thing I do want to talk about for the women's side was, you know, everybody's been looking at what Iowa does. Kaitlin Clark just breaking records, like just name the trophy after her at this point because she's either over 4,000 or almost at 4,000 points. And she still has another year of eligibility if she wanted to play. But she's going to be the number one overall pick when she's already said she's going to come out of the draft. But her side of the bracket, so they got the number one on the what division are they? Or side of the bracket? It's Albany 2. I don't know which one that is, but they got the number one on that. But that is the straight up, I'm a big soccer fan, so like FIFA World Cup times, you got the, you know, the group of death. Theirs is the bracket of death. These are just some of the senior teams. So you got Iowa at number one. Then you got Colorado at five. You got Kansas State at four. Louisville at six. LSU at three. And then UCLA at two. Like, that is just a gauntlet. Whoever comes out of that side, they fought, they scratched, they won. That's not that side. You know, everybody wants to see LSU, Iowa rematch. So that would be for in the Final Four. But honestly, LSU and UCLA, like that's gonna be a big time game if it goes that way.
Yeah, I heard they were talking about it on Sportsman this morning. It just does seem like they're just loaded up there, and I'd like to see LSU and Iowa square off, and then LSU. What about them in the SEC tournament, getting in like the brawl?
I know, like I know they've
always
the guy
jumped out of the stand.
Oh, I know, it was like,
and then he realized, wait a minute, this girl is like a foot taller than me. Let me back up here.
It's like the Malice in the Palace part two. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. But that'll be a good tournament, though, you know?
Yeah.
And like we were saying, 5-10 years ago, I mean, we wouldn't have even really talked about it. But women's basketball has gotten a lot better.
And I like the style of play they do. I know there's just something about it. The fluidity of it. It's just it's a beautiful game.
I like quarters instead of halves.
Dude, right. So much. If there's one thing that the men's side could do, give me four quarters. Mm-hmm. This two halves thing, I hate it. I've always hated it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But South Carolina, it's going to be hard to beat South Carolina. So.
Yeah, they're loaded.
So that's
I don't think. I don't see them losing.
But, shaping up going to be a good tournament, both sides. And, you know, tonight, or I guess if I'm talking to people like it's happening today, tonight I'll be recording another show for the following week with Mark. So we'll have the game on. I don't know which one it is, but we'll be having a few games on. But after that, oh, it's straight, just like, boom, it's always on.
Non-stop. Yeah. Don't to do anything for the next few weeks.
Yep.
I'm tied up. And we talked about playing golf. I know you've had the golf bug. We talked about playing Thursday. Like this is like last week, you know, we're just the weather looks okay for Thursday. We should play. We should get men's league going again, which we call it. And then like I guess yesterday just dawned on me. I said, guys, Thursday's the NCAA tournament. I'm not playing golf. Like I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll catch you when the Masters is on.
Yeah, first tip is at like 11:20 in the morning. Final tip is like 10:30 at night. Like I'm busy
the entire day. Yeah, book.
Always like it when I'm watching. I'll be watching some sports thing on TV or whatever. Mo will come in. She's like, "Who are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh, this time." She's like, "Do you know them? Like, do you like them?" I'm like, "No, it's just on." She's like, "You can watch you can watch two teams you don't have any fandom with." I'm like,
no rooting interest.
Like, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just wait until March.
Right. Yeah, then we're cheering on James Madison.
Yeah. I'll be cheering on Colgate, and I don't like their toothpaste. Right. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Right. Exactly.
Like, we are a Crest family.
That's great. That's what makes it so much fun.
Yep. So how was your cigar since you were able to enjoy it? My Guinness was great.
It was really good. Especially like I said, it's currently snowed today in Kentucky, and I'm in the garage. And earlier today I was so cold I said, you know, I don't even know if I can smoke a cigar during this show, but screaming at me when I went to the humidor, and it was good. Turned out to be a great smoke, never let you down.
Oh yeah,
it's so glad I was able to enjoy that.
You got a preferred size on that one that you like?
No, I really don't. I had two in my humidor, and I said, well, you know, I might as well grab the biggest one I can find in here because I don't smoke as many cigars in the winter time.
Yeah,
I actually had to cancel one of my. Or put on pause one of my Cigar of the Month clubs because my humidor is just like overflowing. I was like, hey man, I gotta pause this for a month just so I can let me burn through a few of these.
And, yep.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
see, we'll get it going here in a few weeks.
And so this week, our trade show happening in Vegas.
Yeah.
So you know, all the new stuff will be coming out. I'll be looking forward to seeing what Will and Doug brings back. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm the, like, it's still daylight here. Thankfully, right. I'm an hour behind you. So when log off this and hit and jump right on to editing, I'll probably grab one. It's a little chilly. Like, I think we might have had false spring. Like, it's supposed to be low of like 26 tonight. But then, you know how it is. Like, we're in the South. It's super bipolar weather. It's great. And then, you know, it's going to change in, 6 hours.
Yeah. And that's what makes it, I think it makes it even colder, is when you have those warm days and you're like, all right, here we go. Spring is here. And then they hit you with the 26 degrees and just crumble.
Like Saturday, I wore shorts and it was like only 73. Like, it's great. But now it's like, if I'm wearing shorts now at 73 after this, like, oh, fuck that. No, it's too cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, summertime, I like it in the upper 80s, 90s. I love it. But I can't stand cold weather. I mean, I love the change of the seasons and everything, but yeah, I like it hot.
I'm a big boy. Give me like 64.
I've heard you talk about this.
64 is the optimal temp for me. So
yeah, I got you. It does get a little hot on the golf course though, when you're smoking cigars. It's like 90 and you're over sweating.
So we played.
You got to choose wisely.
We played last week, and I think we teed off at like 2. So it was like. That's what's nice, like time change, like, oh, we can tee off at 3:30 and still get full 18 in. So I hole one started with the hoodie on. Instantly I was like, I gotta take this shit off. Like, it is too damn hot for that.
your golf game's been improving.
It hasn't been getting worse. So this past Saturday, I played and I counted every penalty, every stroke to the tee, first time I've actually done that. And I was at 110. So I was like, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
Low 20s for my handicap and stuff. So a buddy of mine who I haven't talked to in a while saw that I've been posting pictures playing golf. He's like, hey, we're doing a scramble tournament. Do you want to play? I'm like, I don't know if you know how not good I am. And he's like, oh no, we're just there to have a good time. We just smoke and drink and stuff like that. I was like, well, I can do that all day long.
So, yeah. I'm really good at that, actually. Yeah.
I excel at that. I'm a scratch smoker and drinker. I can do that all the time.
Well, that's the great thing about scrambles too, is, anybody can hit a good shot here and there and contribute, and it's a lot of fun. And I know you, we talked the last time I was on about you having your hole in one. I still haven't had one. No big update there. Just another season in the books. No fucking hole in one. So, nothing to update on there. You'll probably get two more this year.
So we played not too long ago and I got close. Close to me is like within like 15 feet. I was happy. I was just happy I made it over the water. So that's the main thing. But the thing here is the home course we have, it's cart path only until May. Yeah. So that kind of sucks. So like we played the other day. So Steve has been, he got a push cart and he's been walking. And he was at like 15,000 steps and I was on a cart and I was at 12. And I was like, well, I'm not really gaining much of anything.
Yeah, because it's cart path only, right? Yeah. Yeah. If you see me walking on the golf course, call the authorities. Something is wrong. I'm never doing that. I actually did coach basketball at the school I work at. Now I'm going to be the head golf coach as well.
Really?
So, okay. Congratulations. Yeah, so a little something new to do to stay busy. But the main thing was free golf. If you're the golf coach at the course, you get free golf. So,
and
that, kind of a no brainer.
And that right there is why I work at a cigar shop, because
that's exactly right. people always ask me, "What are you going to do when you retire from education?" I said, "Either work at a cigar shop or a golf course. I mean, one of the two.
I'll either be a caddy or retail. Yeah. One of the two.
Yeah.
Maybe both.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just part-time somewhere just to get something for free.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, season, the full season is upon us. So I'm looking forward to it. My goal this year, so I'm turning 40 this year. This will be my third season playing full time. So I actually want to I have just a hodgepodge, a mix match bag of clubs. Mm-hmm. So my goal this year, like December, so when it's off season, is actually get a full complete, a set. So that's what my thing is this year.
Well, I know Mark gave you hell for you had the wardrobe. That was like the first thing you did. You got all
I got the importance.
You're like, I'm playing golf. I'm getting the best gear. You start at the right spot. Now you go get the bag. Yeah, you're ready.
See, it's a mindset thing. Like, I'm going to play like shit, yeah, but by God, I'm going to look good doing it.
Look good doing it. Look good, feel good, play good.
There you go, Rick. I mean, nobody else plays as bad as I do rocking the Jordan 1s. I mean, that's
right. I'm going to walk up to that tee box looking like I know what I'm doing.
And I'm going to hit that thing 4 inches.
Right.
So we played in a new course a couple weeks ago. And, like, they actually had a true starter there. There was like six people there waiting to tee off and everything. And I've never really hit in front of a gallery before. Dude, yeah. I got so far in my head. I hit the thing right off the toe, and it was screaming towards the starter.
I'm sure he loved that.
And I was like, my bad. Let me go ahead and take my breakfast ball right now.
So I got one like that during COVID, which is when I started listening to your show and really got into cigars again. I'd smoked, occasionally years before, but then, COVID wasn't anything to do. I started listening to some cigar podcasts, yours included, and I started smoking a lot of cigars. I started playing golf again a lot more regularly. And I entered a match play tournament that I advanced to the finals. And so there's the big finals and I'm on the first tee and the guy's going Facebook Live, the pro at the golf course, and whiffed first shot. Whiffed it. And the guy looked at me that I was playing against, and he was kind of like, it was a practice swing. You could see it in his eyes. He didn't know, was that real?
Yeah.
And that was a whiff. That was total whiff. And I ended up shooting like the best score first shot that day with a whiff.
I did,
but it was just crazy. It was like, what in the fuck are you doing?
I did that. I guess the last time I was, just doing a little practice swing and warmed up and everything. And man, I made contact with that ball and that thing went like a 90 degree off to the right. And I was
right.
And because all the guys knew I was counting every swing, every stroke, every penalty, yeah, all that. I was like, I did not mean to do that. I was just practice winning. I'm not going to count that one. It's like, you can throw a bitch fit if you want to. I'm not counting.
Yeah, but I'm not counting it. Right. That's funny, man. Golf.
Love to hate it, right?
Yeah, they say they call it golf because the word fuck was taken.
That's like the Robin Williams golf thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things. Like, how it got its name from stroke and everything. Just like,
yeah.
If you haven't heard that, take 15 minutes and listen.
Yeah, that's worth the YouTube.
It's one of the best. It's one of the best like little comedy shorts ever.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's fun.
All right, we are 3 years into this reoccurring segment, and it's always good. And I'm glad to do this once again.
Yeah, man. Great catching up and talking about it. Now we'll watch the games the rest of this week and the rest of the month, and laugh at ourselves at all our predictions. And
that's the greatest thing is, when you're with your buddies and you're wrong, they might not remember. This is out there for as long as I pay for it. So,
yeah, right. There you go.
So people can go back and listen just to how wrong we were the past 2 years.
That's funny. Well, We'll see. Maybe we'll surprise him this year.
Hell, we got to know how your boy does this year. Next year, we'll have to have him in. But
he would love it.
You got bumped down.
He's made for it. Yeah. he would be great. I tell him all the time. He's got a future on ESPN.
Oh, there you go. I like it. I like it. All right. Thanks for taking time out and doing this again. And we'll keep in contact and, you know.
Absolutely, man. Good luck to your Jayhawks.
Yeah, good luck to your Devils.
All right, man.
All right, we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye.